Today we're going to look at some verses in the Bible that speak about secrets. The Bible talks a lot about secrets, a lot about things that are hidden, that are concealed, that are covered up. And then it talks about the revelation of secrets, how God takes off the cover and opens up people's eyes to truth. Because the Bible does talk about how God has secrets and that He reveals these secrets to His people in His time, according to His will. And it's up to Him to open our eyes to His truth. And the Bible also talks about the secrets of men that we all have. A lot of us have secret sins. But God sees it all. God is all seeing and all knowing. And so He will bring judgment upon those sins. And so we can pray to God to help us to see our sins, these secret sins that we might have. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 45, where we see that God says He's a God that hides Himself. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 15. In Isaiah 45, verse 15, we read, "Verily Thou art a God that hidest Thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." So the Savior hides Himself. And isn't that so true that God, He really does hide Himself? I mean, look around right now. You can't see God. God, and even for the last 2,000 years, God has not brought any more supernatural physical miracles in the world today. He still is, of course, performing the miracle of salvation in people's lives. But, you know, for the last 2,000 years, God has really been hidden. God has really not shown Himself in these supernatural ways that we all would expect from a supernatural God. And so, you know, that's... why does God do that? You know, why is... It's a mystery, you know, that God would keep Himself hidden from us. And you see what the problem is, though, is it's our sin. The Bible tells us that our sins have hidden Him from us. And this same word, hide, is found in Isaiah 59. Go over there in Isaiah 59, where we read how it's our sins that hide His face from Him. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, we read, "Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." You know, God can do it. God can do whatever He wants. He's all-powerful. He could save anybody. But verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." What a good description for us. We're all filthy, dirty, rotten sinners. And that's the problem. Because when God created Adam and Eve, you know, they were perfect. And so God wasn't hidden from them for a short period of time. But once sin came, then that separated us from God. Although, if you go back to Isaiah 45, even though God hides Himself from mankind in many ways, He hasn't spoken in secret. It's not like He says things and nobody knows about it, and He does things in a corner, you know, so people won't notice. No, He says He doesn't speak in secret in Isaiah 45 in verse 19. Or I'll read verse 18. "For thus saith Jehovah that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, Jehovah, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." And also in Isaiah 48, verse 16, just one page over, it says, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord Jehovah and His Spirit have sent me." And so, you know, in the Old Testament times, God was hidden even more than He is today, as now we have this whole Bible, and the Bible's going out into all the world. And yet, even from the beginning, God hasn't spoken in secret. Even in the Old Testament, God had made many prophecies, and He would say, this is what's going to happen, and it would come to pass. And it's always been from the beginning that He hasn't spoken in secret. But When Jesus came, he even revealed more about the kingdom of God. Go over to John chapter 18. In John chapter 18, verse 20 and 21, when Jesus was before the high priest, in John chapter 18, I'll start reading verse 19, it says, "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, 'I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said.'" You see, God has witnesses. God has revealed things to his people. He hasn't spoken in secret. He's declared things in the Word of God. And then his people take that message and declare what he says. And it has the full authority of God. It's the full authority of God because it is truly what he said, the Bible. And so when we declare things, especially now, for instance, of the return of Christ on May 21st, 2011, that has the full authority of God. That's coming from God, not from man, because it's right from the Bible, from the mouth of God. And so when Jesus came, you know, he said things. He had great multitudes around him, you know, and he declared things about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is like this, and the kingdom of heaven is like that. And so here where the high priest asked him, Jesus says, I haven't said anything in secret. You know, he doesn't do something in a corner all hush-hush. You know, he openly, boldly proclaims the truth. And so today, as his witnesses are in the world, they too are openly declaring the truth of the Word of God. But man, we want God to show himself to us on our terms. And that's the problem. In John, remember, go to John 7. In John 7, remember Jesus' brothers? They also wanted Jesus to, they wanted him to make himself known in their time and in their ways. But God has his timing. God has his ways. In John 7, I'll start reading verse 1. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, 'Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world.' For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, 'My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.'" You see, it wasn't time yet for Jesus to do that. And then when they do go to the feast, down in verse 10, "But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, 'Where is he?'" You know, and then in the midst of the feast, in verse 14, Jesus goes up into the temple and teaches. And so, see, it's God's timing. It's God's revelation to man. He could keep himself hidden from us till we die, and then we would die and we'd be dead. But by God's mercy, he is, especially today, really revealing so much of himself through the Word of God and through his prophecies that are about to come to pass. And so we must wait upon God, and in his time, he will show us things, if it's his will. And go over to Matthew 13. Now, Jesus, he didn't speak in secret, just like it said in Isaiah and in John 18. But he said things in parables. When he would declare the word of God, many times it was with a parable. And so it was hard to understand. And in Matthew 13, verse 10, the disciples ask him, "Why are you doing these things in parables, Jesus?" In verse 10, "And the disciples came and said unto him, 'Why speakest thou unto them in parables?' He answered and said unto them, 'Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So it's not God's will that everyone understands. It's not God's will that all of our eyes are going to be open to the truth. And that's God's business. And so that's why these things have been done in parables. And what a blessing. In verse 11, he says, it's given unto you, if you are truly one of his, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And what a blessing from God that now we're living in a day where we can understand many of the things about the kingdom of heaven. Because look in verse 16, as we keep going, it says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. You know, the children of God of past generations, you know, they wanted to know these things. Remember Daniel, he asked, you know, how long shall it be till the end of these visions? You know, and what will be in the last end of the indignation? You know, and they desired to know about these things. And yet it wasn't God's time. So God told them, go your way, Daniel. The words are closed up and sealed. So what a blessing for us today that we could actually learn these things. So thank God if he's opened your eyes to these, that he's given us the warning. And now we can really examine our lives and turn from our sins and cry to God for mercy before it's too late. Go to 1 Peter 1, where another similar statement about how the saints of old were searching these things out, but couldn't come to the truth because it wasn't God's time yet. In 1 Peter 1, verses 10 to 12, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, people, they wanted to know about the time, the timing. They wanted to know the timing of all these things that were being talked about, of the end times or of Christ's first coming and of his second coming. Notice it's the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, all the things that were to come with Christ's comings. And yet it was revealed to them that it wasn't for them. It wasn't for them. It's for us today, as God has revealed to us the timing and the judgment, time and judgment. And we'll go back to Matthew 13, where Jesus will say, or he'll be quoting from the Old Testament, that he's going to speak about things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. In Matthew 13, 34 and 35, it says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And there's many things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world, like what Christ did from the foundation of the world, in the atonement before the foundation of the world. And now, and he's speaking all these things in parables, and now it's God's timing to reveal all these things from the Word of God. And go to Luke chapter 18, where we'll see about how God could even say things to us plainly, but we won't even understand it because of our sin-tainted minds. You know, we need desperately God to open our mind. Whenever you read the Bible or study the Bible, it's not like, oh, I'm going to study this so hard and I'll figure it out. No way. We got to be begging God, oh, God, please show me what's true. Show me what you mean by this, because he could say things directly to us and it'd go right over our head. In Luke chapter 18, verse 31 to 34, it says, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Now all those things, you know, physically all took place. But verse 34 says, and they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And so, you know, God could say things very plain. Now, of course, what all that meant was still parabolic and still very deep and spiritual and difficult to understand. But just even this physical thing, the disciples, when they heard this, you know, they didn't get what he was saying. You know, they didn't understand it because it was hid from them. And that's why we need to be praying to God to open our eyes. Go over to Proverbs 25. There's a good proverb there about how God has concealed the word of God. He's hidden it. He's written it in parables and in deep, dark sayings. And it's an honor. It's a privilege to read the Bible. It's a great privilege to study the Bible that we have. And that's the mercy of God. In Proverbs 25, verse 2, it says, the glory of God is to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. And as you know, the word thing and matter are that Hebrew word debar, which is the word. It's talking about the word of God. That it's the glory of God to conceal the word. But the honor of kings, that is the true believers, is to search it out. Go to Deuteronomy 29:29. Another familiar verse, Deuteronomy 29:29. The same word that was conceal is translated secret here in Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, the secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That's why God would open up our eyes to anything. It's not so that we could get all puffed up and say, look at me, I know all this stuff about the end, and I know all this stuff about God's salvation, and I can tell you what the Bible says. Look how smart I am. No, that's just all fleshly puffed up, and that's not the wisdom of God. Look here, why are these things being revealed to us? That we may do all the words of this law. That's what the knowledge is to do. We want to learn from the Bible so we know how to act, so we know what we should be doing and how we can be serving God. And let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, because if we're to truly know God, God must reveal himself to us. And the way he reveals himself to us is through the Bible. If you want to get to know who God is, I remember before I even read the Bible and I knew nothing about God, I remember praying to God, God, if you're real, you know, show yourself to me, you know, help me out here. I'm in trouble, you know, but that's not how it's going to come. You know, if you want God to come to you in some supernatural way so you can really have assurance, oh yeah, now I know he really is what he says, that's not the way he does it. He reveals himself by the word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, remember this is with Samuel, was with Eli. Notice verse 1 in 1 Samuel 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto Jehovah before Eli. And the word of Jehovah was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So in those days, God was really hidden. You know, there was no open vision. The word of God was precious or rare. And in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know Jehovah, neither was the word of Jehovah yet revealed unto him. And then, remember, God calls him Samuel, Samuel, but he thinks it's Eli, right? And he goes to Eli a couple times, and then finally Eli says, no, when he says it, say, I'm here, Lord, you know, speak. And then he does, and go down to verse 19. And Samuel grew, and Jehovah was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Jehovah. And notice verse 21. And Jehovah appeared again in Shiloh. And Jehovah revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of Jehovah. Notice, that's how God revealed himself. He revealed himself by the word of Jehovah. And that's how he reveals himself to us. Similar ideas in Luke 24. Go to Luke chapter 24. Remember, there were the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus actually came up and started walking with them. But in verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him, right? They didn't recognize that it was him. This was after his death and resurrection. But they didn't know him. And in And then notice what Jesus says. In verse 18, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering, well, in verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So that's Jesus asking them that. And then one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? As if Jesus didn't know. You know, of course Jesus knew. It was all about him and what he had just done. And yet he asked them, what things? Like he doesn't know. And isn't that very interesting? Like God, and you see that through the Bible. God will ask a question to us. Is it because he doesn't know? Is that what he's trying to find out what the answer is? No, of course not. God knows. Jesus knew what it was all about. And yet he asked for our benefit. He asked the question to test us. Not to test us to find out what our hearts are like. He already knows that. He already knows what's in our hearts. But he tests us to show ourselves what's in our heart. To show us. And then they give him, you know, they tell him about what happened. And then and then he rebukes them in verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then he expounds unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then in verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. So now, boom, their eyes are opened and now they know it's Jesus. And notice what he does. And he vanished out of their sight. I mean, God hides himself. You know, here they are. They're walking with Jesus. They don't know it's him. He asks them what things, you know, like he doesn't know. And then when they're breaking the bread and eating the bread, then they know it's him. And boom, he's gone. You know, very, very mysterious, you know. And this is God's ways are not our ways. And verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, so notice what's happened. Now they're examining their heart. Didn't our heart burn within us? You see, he does these things to help us to examine ourselves, to see. So he's teaching us in these ways. This is how he does it many times. You know, he's very mysterious. He's hidden in many ways. He speaks parabolically and he tests us with questions in the Bible. It's to get us to examine our heart. Didn't our heart burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures? So now their minds are starting to go and they're starting to learn. And in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Notice that he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And that the bread, remember, God says, shall a man live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This breaking of the bread is spiritually pointing to the word of God, as they're partaking of the word of God. That's how Christ is known to us. And so we can pray to God that as we read the Bible, as we break the bread of life and look into the scriptures, that God would open our eyes. Go to Psalm 119, that beautiful prayer in Psalm 119 to God to open our eyes. Psalm 119, verse 18 and 19. Psalm 119, 18 and 19, it says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. So we can pray to God. And notice, hide not thy commandments from me. God could. You know, God could keep us in the dark very easily. You know, he could close our minds very easily. We're completely at his mercy to open up our eyes to behold wondrous things out of his law. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And we'll look here in Matthew chapter 10, where God tells us that there's nothing that's hidden that's not going to be revealed. Everything will be revealed. Finally, in the end, everything will come to light. And in Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 27, Jesus says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, see, God, the word of God is dark sayings, it's parabolic. That speak ye in light. We can declare, we can explain what the Bible says to people as God opens our eyes. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And that's bringing the gospel to the world. We learn from the dark sayings of the Bible. We learn as God speaks, as He opens up our spiritual ears, that we can hear what He's really saying, and then we can declare that to the world. And notice in verse 26 that there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Now that word covered is a Greek word kalupto, and the word revealed is apokalupto. And so the word kalupto is the word for covering, like in, I think it's Matthew 8, where the ship was covered with the waves. You know, something that's covered over, it's concealed. And this apokalupto is the same word, just with the apo prefix, which means away from or take it off. And so it's God's going to take off the cover. There's nothing covered that God's not going to take off the cover. And that's what's going to happen in the end. And He's done that in many ways as He's revealing all this end time truth. And also in the end, that everything's going to be exposed. We're all going to be exposed on May 21st, 2011, whether we were really saved or not, and what the truth really was. And go to Matthew chapter 11, one page over. We see how God, He reveals Himself to whoever He wants to. And that's God's business. And of course, He's perfect and righteous, and none of us deserve Him to reveal Himself to us. And yet God has a marvelous salvation plan that He will reveal Himself to people, His elect. In Matthew 11, 25 to 27. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You have hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. You know, in this world, as we come with this end time teaching, you know, many of the wise and the prudent, those that think they really know a lot, they think they're the Bible scholars, they're the theologians, they can't see any of this, you know. And yet, here many of us, we're nobody, we don't know anything. And yet here we can see it pretty clearly from the Bible. You know, why is that? And that God, that no flesh should glory in His presence, that God would get all the glory. He's revealed these things to babes. Notice verse 27. All things are delivered unto Me of My Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Now, in our King James translation, we kind of miss it here, but where it says, whoever the Son will reveal, and we think, well, that's kind of like future tense, He's going to reveal it to certain people. But that word will is really the word for that He intends to, that He purposes, that it's His will that He would reveal, that if He wants to, if He desires to. And so it's to whoever the Son wants to reveal Him or purposes to reveal Him. And so that's according to God's election plan. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Where we see that God will reveal the end time truth. And that's what He's done to us in our day. In 2 Thessalonians 2, where we read about how God is going to reveal that Satan would be ruling in the church during the Great Tribulation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, remember it starts out that we shouldn't be soon shaken in mind, that the day of Christ is at hand. You know, something has to come first. And it has come. In verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. The apostasy, that falling away is the Greek word apostasia. That's the great apostasy that's occurred in the churches. There come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? It's all been written about in the Bible 2,000 years earlier. You know, it's all been told before, and yet it's going to be revealed in his time. Notice verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, or midst. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So notice that Satan in the church, he's going to be revealed in his time at the appropriate time, even though the mystery of iniquity, see, it wasn't, doth already work. Satan was already working in the churches all throughout the church age. When you read Revelation 2 and 3, you see his workings in the churches. And yet it was a mystery. God didn't show it, his people didn't really understand the full effect of that. And that's why God says that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. But once he who's restraining him, once Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ and his spirit is taken out of the midst, once Christ comes out of the midst of the churches, then shall that wicked be revealed. Then God is going to show his people that Satan's in the churches. And isn't that what happened, right? Once Christ left the church, right, in 1988, and then when the latter rain began in 1994, Christ was out of the midst. And then during our day, then that wicked shall be revealed. Now we can see it because God is the restrainer has left, and then it's God's time to reveal that, look who's there. It's Satan that's being worshipped today in the church as God has appointed him to rule there. And go to Amos chapter 3, that familiar verse that we know now about how God doesn't do anything without revealing it to his people. Go through your Bible. Look at all the judgments of God. He would always reveal it to his people beforehand so that they could warn the people. Noah in the days of the flood, you know, Jonah and Nineveh, and many other examples. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord Jehovah will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord Jehovah has spoken, who can but prophesy? And that's what we have today. God is roaring. God is really warning the world of judgment day. And his people that have learned this, who can but prophesy? We have to declare it. We have to say what he's revealed to us. Now this word secret, it's used like in Psalm 25, the secret of Jehovah is with them that fear him. We could read that in Psalm 25, 14. It says, the secret of Jehovah is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God shows us. God shows and reveals his secret to his people. We also find this word in Jeremiah 23. Go to Jeremiah 23, where it's translated as counsel. And it's this word secret is the word, it's like a secret counsel, an intimate knowledge between two parties. You know, and that God reveals to his people. God has secret counsel with his people as they study his word and he opens their eyes to the truth. In Jeremiah 23, I'll start reading verse 18. For who hath stood in the counsel, that's that word secret in Amos 3:7. For who hath stood in the counsel of Jehovah and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of Jehovah is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Jehovah shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, there's that word again, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. And again, that stresses what happens when God shows his secret to his people, shows them the truth. It's so that they turn from their sin. Then you'll know that you truly understand if you're turning from your sin and turning to do it God's way. And as we keep going, we see here that no man, we can't hide ourselves from God. As I said before, we also have secrets. Men have secrets that we try to hide from God. God has his secrets and he can successfully hide them from us, no problem. But when we try to hide things from God, it's not going to work. Verse 23, Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God at hand, saith Jehovah, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places? that I shall not see him, saith Jehovah? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith Jehovah? God fills heaven and earth. I mean, God is so almighty, so infinite. I mean, think about that. God fills heaven and earth. Where are you going to go to hide from God? Where are you going to go to try to hide your sin? You think the dark nighttime when many people go out and they do wicked things that, you know, we used to do too, and yet you think God's not going to see that? Or maybe you're in your house, you know, mom and dad aren't around, and you're going to do something that you know they don't want you doing. You think you're going to get away with it? You think God doesn't see it? God fills heaven and earth. And in 1 Kings 8, there's another verse where God, where it says, even the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. God is so infinite, we can't even comprehend him. He is just so powerful, and he fills heaven and earth. Go to Genesis, where Adam and Eve tried to hide. And amazingly there too, God asks questions to them like he doesn't know. In Genesis chapter 3, remember, they eat from the tree that they're not supposed to, as the serpent Satan beguiled them. And in verse 7, once they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So boom, once they ate from that tree, now they know they've got a problem. They know they're naked. They know they've sinned. They know something's wrong. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they try to cover themselves. And this is pointing to those that try to cover themselves with their own works. You could try to be real good, you know, and try to do all the right things and think that's going to get me right with God. You know, all my good deeds are going to outweigh my bad and we'll be okay. But that doesn't work. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord, of Jehovah God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God amongst the trees of the garden. And, you know, when we sin, you know, many times it troubles us. If we're truly a child of God, we feel terrible about it. And we feel that broken fellowship with God, you know, and we have trouble sometimes going to God. But that's who we need to go to. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to hide it. God tells us, confess it to him. He knows about all about it already. But here they try to hide themselves from God's presence. And notice verse 9, and Jehovah God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Like he doesn't know. Where are you, Adam? God knows. Again, he's testing Adam to show Adam what's going on, to show him what's in his heart now. Where are you, Adam? And in verse 10, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Again, asking him the question, have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. There's another way we try to hide our sins. We try to point the finger at somebody else. It was somebody else's fault. It's not my fault, Lord. It's not my fault I did that. You know, it's the way I was brought up. And you understand, you know. No. Verse 13, and Jehovah God said unto the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She does the same thing. She points the finger at Satan. And then in Jehovah God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and so on. And then God does bring curse upon Adam and Eve as well. And so, you know, there's no use in trying to hide our sins. There's no use in that. You know, if you got sins, confess them to the Lord. You don't have to tell anybody else. You know, that's one thing. We don't have to tell our secret sins to somebody else. We tell them to God and confess our sins to God and beg him for his mercy. Because, you know, God sees right through hypocrisy. Go to Luke chapter 12. Because remember, with hypocrisy, if we're a big fat hypocrite, we try to hide the real us. You know, you try to hide the real you. And yet God knows the real you. God knows the real me. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we read, in the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Notice the difference between this verse and the other one we had read in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, it was, let's read that, in Matthew 10, 26, for there, 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. But here, it's whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. You see the difference? And so whatever we say, if we try to hide as well, that's going to come to light as well. Just like God's word is going to come to light and it's going to be shown to be true. But the sinful things that we have done, our hypocrisy, that's going to become to light, and it's going to show us that we're still wicked sinners and we're under God's wrath. Go to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2. Where God will tell us who the true Jew is, who the true child of God is. It's not someone that's just one outwardly, but inwardly. In Romans 2, 28 and 29, we read, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Now this word outwardly and outward in verse 28, that's the word that's translated many times, manifest, or it means to be apparent, or apparently what you see on the outside. You know, it looks this way. It's manifest, it's apparent, or it looks like this is true. You know, it looks like you're really a child of God. You know, you carry your Bible maybe, you pray, and you talk about God, you know, and you do the things that Christians do, and yet it's all outward, then it's not true. And this word in verse 29, the word inwardly, that's the word secret or in secret. But he is a Jew which is one in secret, and that's in the heart that man can't see. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And so we want to be a true child of God, a true Jew, and we want to have that circumcision of our heart in secret, in our soul, have our sins cut off. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, where we see that some men's sins are open. You know, the drunkard, the harlot, the drug addict, their sins, they're very open. You know, we all see that. We can look down our long noses at them, you know, and say, "Oh, look at these people, you know, how terrible." But some men's sins, you can't see them, but they're going to follow them to judgment day. In 1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So you see, again, God sees the good and the bad, and we see good and bad, and yet we don't see the whole picture. And we want to pray to God to show ourselves, you know, show me my sins, and so that we can turn from them. Now, go to Leviticus chapter 4. In Leviticus chapter 4, we'll see that some of our secret sins can also be ones that we don't know about, sins that we commit ignorantly, that we're not aware of. And yet we're still guilty. Just because we don't know that we're doing wrong doesn't mean that we're not guilty. In Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13, "And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of Jehovah concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation." So again, just because we're not aware of it, that doesn't mean we're not guilty. And so we pray to God that he would show us our secret sins. Like in Psalm 19, where the prayer is to cleanse us from secret faults. In Psalm 19, and verse 12. Who can understand his errors? You know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, we can't know it until God shows us. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from great transgression. And so notice the two different kinds of sins here. We have secret ones, and we can pray to God to cleanse us from that, show us our sins so that we can turn, but also keep us back from presumptuous ones, ones that we know. You know, we know sometimes we shouldn't do this, and yet we still do it. You know, and so we want to beg God also to keep us back from those. Because in the end, God will judge the secrets of men, and he will completely destroy the wicked and any of us if we're not saved. In Ecclesiastes 12, we read how God's going to bring it all into judgment, even the secret things. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And again, that word matter is the word word. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole word. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Go to Romans 2, another similar verse, Romans 2 and verse 16. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And that's Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011. Less than 2 years away, God is going to judge all our secrets if we're not saved. Now, by God's amazing mercy, if we have become born from above, all those secret sins have all been paid for. And so we can, that should be our whole desire right now, is seeking God's salvation, that we might not be exposed on that day. And as we see, if we see ourselves left behind, then that secret that we weren't saved is going to be revealed. And in 1 Corinthians 4:5, let's read that. Since all is going to be fully revealed in the end, God tells us to judge nothing before the time. You know, we're not to look out at somebody else and try to examine them. I wonder if they're really saved, you know, or look at people, what they're doing, you know, and just continually judge them for what they're doing. And, oh, that's terrible what they're doing, you know, and then you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. And God tells us, don't do that at all. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So God will bring it all to light. Don't worry about that. Our job is not to be the judge. Our job is not to look for secrets and try to expose people. No, not at all. And in the previous chapter, even 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so, you know, God is a consuming fire, and in his judgment and his wrath, he's going to burn up this whole place. He's going to burn us up if we're not saved. And so let's pray to God. Let's go to God. He's the only one that can help us, because vain is the help of man. And let's pray to God that we can turn from these secret sins, and then pray that God would reveal his secrets to us from the Bible, that we might do the words of God. Not just so we could be puffed up with knowledge, that's a sin, you know, and that doesn't help us at all, but that we might obey God and be pleasing to him. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for this time we could read these verses, Lord. We pray you might help us to do your word, Lord. Oh God, help us not to be hypocrites, Father. Oh God, you see our hearts right now, Lord. Here we are, we're all before you. You fill heaven and earth, Lord. You see everything. And there's nothing we can hide, oh God. And we just thank you that you're merciful, Father. We just, oh God, thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for giving us hope. Without you, we'd have no hope at all. And Father, we pray for our children, Father, we pray that you might change their hearts. We pray that you might save them and bring them to glory, to be with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Greg. Won't we have a final hymn as we close our time together here?